Paul says, I never ask you for anything. And if you check the scriptures, you will see that whenever Paul got any money, he didn't even carry it himself. He took somebody else because he wanted to be blameless. And when he was helped, it was because Paul had been praying and God heard his prayer. Nobody told anybody else. That's the real ministry. Not telling people my needs by sending out letters.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today, as Roel continues our series exposing the deceit of false spiritual leaders, he'll zero in on the greed behind the lies. Counterfeit teachers know what to say to sound holy, but they're more interested in their personal gain than in profiting God's heavenly kingdom. Stay with us for insight to help identify some of the tactics of these false teachers. Here's Roel Reese in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 29. Today's study is titled, False Teachers in the Church.
And now Paul the Apostle, coming to the conclusion of his message or his fourth exhortation, from verses 29 through verses 38, we have looking inwardly, as Paul looks inwardly at the elders and at the church. And he sees in the horizon that as Paul would leave, that false prophets and false teachers would come. And I want to talk to you this morning about this. One of the things that we need to realize is that Paul here warns of a very serious problem that not only has happened in the past, but also has happened in the present, and we can look to the future. A problem that every church has. A problem that you will find among every church in the whole world. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. And that problem is the problem of division. The problem of members of the body of Jesus Christ, those that don't really care about the body. Only care about themselves, that begin to draw disciples after themselves and begin to build upon another man's foundation. This is what Paul brings to exhortation today to us. Looking at verse 29, we see Paul's concern, and Paul's concern is very legitimate. And I think that as a body, as a church, as God's members of the body of Jesus Christ, we need to be concerned. My first concern is in the knowledge that God has given to us. Paul speaks about his knowledge. In verse 29, he says, "For I know this." Paul, what do you know? "I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock of God." Notice the warning Paul brings about. I want to give you 8 things about the characteristic of false teachers. 8 things that are very important. Number 1, false teachers are grace perverters. They pervert the grace of God. What do I mean by that? Well, turn to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Paul here, in speaking to these people in Galatia here, he shares with them because they were putting works over God's grace for salvation. Verse 6 says, "And I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Jesus, who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another gospel, but there are some," there they are, "but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed or be sent to the lowest hell, he says. There are people in the body of Jesus Christ, they take great advantage of the grace of God in their lives. These are the people that believe that by having their presence in the church and going to the services and listening to the word of God, they're going to be safe. And yet these are the people that abuse the grace of God on the weekends, throughout the week. They're the social drinkers, they're social fornicators, they're the social adulterers. They're the ones that do not really have a conviction for sin. They're the type of people that believe in their hearts that they will not get caught. And really, they don't really understand the grace of God. These are the people that not only Paul, but Peter and Jesus spoke about in the last days. They would be the ones to take the grace of God and fit it in their own lives according to their will, not according to God's will. And Paul warns us in Acts. Because these people fellowship in the body of Christ. These are the ones that their eyes are full of adultery. These are the ones that really have no desire to really know God's will for their life. They only come because they have a self-interest in the body. Who can I deceive? Who can I take with me? Who can I seduce this weekend? The second characteristic of a false teacher and a false prophet is that he's a money lover. All he talks about is money. And we have seen in many of the pulpits of the United States of America and many of the TV programs, Christian programs, how much they make and they put an emphasis on money. It's sad. Because these false teachers are constantly letting people know their needs instead of trusting in God. And upon receiving the money, they spend it to their own glory, to their own selves. It never gets to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul warns, they love money. Thirdly, I see them as Christ deniers. They deny the power of Christ. They deny the name of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's begin with verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those people who creep into the households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins and led away by variation desires of the flesh, which means that while you're at work, they're in your home seducing your women. They make contacts in the body of Christ. There have been so many people here at Calvary and other churches where people have come here and they left their wives for another woman that was in the body of Christ here, building relationships. Paul warns us about those things. We don't come here to fall in love with somebody else and leave my wife or leave my husband. We come here to know the Lord. And yet, it happens. And Paul warns us. It says, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You sit here and you hear the lessons, but it doesn't make sense to you. You never learn what has been told. So then you become like the two people in the Old Testament when Moses went before Pharaoh, and you become like the two magicians that Pharaoh possessed, Jamsins and Ramsins. Look what it says in verse 8. And now, even as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these people also resist the truth of God, men of corrupt minds and disapproved concerning the faith. But they will not progress any longer, Paul says. God will destroy them. You can't get away with it. God warns. And then, fourthly, these become also truth resistors. They don't accept the truth of God, no matter how much you tell them. They don't want to hear it. And then, fifthly, They are bound by traditions of men. Remember Jesus in Matthew 15 rebuking the Pharisees? He says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles the man. These people set up their own rules and regulations and traditions that they have learned by schemes and lies and by reading other books. Paul condemns those people. Jesus condemned them too. So such were the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. And then, 6. Not only are they bound by tradition, but also they are unstable. Very unstable in all of their ways. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Beginning with verse 3. As I urge you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You see, they were having problems with doctrine. They were having problems with the teaching that Timothy was given to them and Paul had given to them. They did not want to obey the teaching of God's word, true doctrine, healthy doctrine. Verse 4. Nor give to fables and endless genealogies which only cause disputes rather than godly building up which is in faith. And now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith, and from which some, having astray, have turned aside to idle talk. They're gossipers. They backbite people. They spread lies. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. And then he gives a category of all the sins, murderers, homosexuals, all the things that are in the body of Christ. You see, Paul is trying to expose the sin. They're not real people. They're still drinkers. They're still fornicators. They're still homosexuals. They're still practicing their sin. A Christian can't do that. A real child of God is changed. A real child of God has a new life now. He is governed by a new spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so Paul wants to make sure that you understand that these people, they're not stable, they're unstable as water.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We'd like to take just a moment and remind you that our top priority is to help you stay grounded in God's truth. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for resources. There's also a wealth of Bible-based teaching on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. Let's continue with more from Raul Reese in our study, False Teachers in the Church.
And then, 7th, they are not only stable, but they're very deceitful. They deceive people. They're deceitful to everyone they come in contact with. They lie to them and they cheat. And believe it or not, lastly, they're lustful people. Turn to 2 Peter. And here Peter begins in chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, by saying this. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. There it is again, same word Paul uses, among you in the body. Who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. They don't know it, but they're only bringing destruction upon themselves. They hide in the body of Jesus Christ. Verse 2. And many, notice not few, many of the body of Christ gets deceived by these guys. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will not, who knows, will be blasphemed. Some of the people, most of the people in the body, he says, will listen to these people because they sound so true. Yet, verse 3, yet by covetousness, notice not money, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. What do? They're constantly asking for money too. On the radio, on TV, all over the place. They take little old ladies' paychecks. by using deceptive words and tears. And they put pictures on TV of little boys in Africa starving to death with flies all over them. It's all here. There's nothing new under the sun. It's happened in the past. And I think that we as the body of Jesus Christ need to be awakened and be aware of these people. Because they're all around us. And then Paul says in verse 4, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down into Tarsus and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare Noah and his people in Sodom and Gomorrah, then what will be the outcome of these people?" Heavy. That whole chapter, it's on judgment. To those people that sat in the body of Jesus Christ and never were true to Jesus Christ. Peter condemns them. The word of God condemns them. Now go back to Acts. Watch what Paul says. Verse 29. Paul's concern, his knowledge, and his insight. "For I know this, that after my departure, dangerous wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Verse 30, we have Paul's discernment. Their entrance, their speech, and their scheme. In verse 30. First of all, let us look at their entrance. "Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up." Notice what he says. They're not coming from Hollywood. They're coming from where? They're coming from the body of Jesus Christ. They're coming from within the church. They're already in the church. And then secondly, notice their speech. They speak perverse things. They don't speak the truth. They speak perversion. They speak only for self-gain, only for themselves, to deceive, to attract, to pull away. And then thirdly, notice their scheme. Their whole scheme is this: to draw away disciples after themselves. Notice what they want. They want to build their own little cliques. They want people to agree with them. They don't want to be accountable to anybody. They don't want to be accountable to God's word or God himself. But they get these people that are being lorded over, and these are yes people. These are not thinkers. These are not people that make a stand and search the scriptures to find the truth in them. They just flow with the people. They're followers. They're not leaders. And these leaders that have come with deception and tried to build a kingdom within a kingdom, Paul says, be careful, watch them. Verse 31. Notice Paul's exhortation. He says, first of all, watch them. "Therefore, because of this, watch and remember that for 3 years, I, Paul, did not stop warning you every day, night and day, with tears." Notice the love of Paul. "Hey, I warn you today." Why? Because I love you. Don't trust people. You can have relationships, but don't put your trust in men. You will be disappointed. Believe me. Paul warns in his exhortation. But you know what blows my mind about Paul? In his warning, he wants you to be aware. And look at verse 32. "And so now, brothers," again the Christians, "I commend you to God." Notice his commendation here. "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." What does he do? He turns over to those people that are right on. He says, "You guys watch and care for the body of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be gone. But you have a responsibility to watch over the body of Jesus Christ. Be accountable," he says. Those who are sanctified. And then in verse 33 through 35, we see Paul's heart as he's coming to the farewell speech, to the end of his message. we begin to see his heart even as he's departing. Watch what he says, verse 33. I want you to know that I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or dress. I never for once in the pulpit got up, Paul says, and asked for a size 8 shoe black. Paul says, I never ask you for anything. And if you check the scriptures, you will see that whenever Paul got any money, he didn't even carry it himself. He took somebody else because he wanted to be blameless. And when he was helped, it was because Paul had been praying and God heard his prayer. Nobody told anybody else. That's the real ministry. Not telling people my needs by sending out letters or proclaiming it from the pulpit. I love Paul. He's a great witness to my life. For I have not coveted any silver or gold or any dress. Yes, you yourselves, those of you that have been here a long time in West Covina, you know yourselves that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. We know the miracle of God here at West Covina, what God has done. Even as Paul knew the miracle that he had in his own life. You know why? Because Paul, from 7 in the morning, he would be out praying and ministering to people till 11 o'clock in the morning. And from 11 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he would be making tents. And from 4 in the evening till knows what time, he would go out again ministering the word of God he provided for his own needs. That's the real minister. He's not one that fleeces the flock of God. He's one that feeds the flock of God. And then check this out, this beautiful passage here, verse 35. I love it. Paul's example. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Notice what he says, you must support the weak. Paul says you need to be aware of people in your body that are having problems, difficult problems. Help them. You want to help somebody? Help the weak. And then he says this. And remember, now this is not found in the whole Bible, only here in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, words that Jesus Christ spoke. He says, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's why we tell you, if you don't want to give, go buy yourself a fat hamburger and eat it, because we don't need it. Because we really believe in the philosophy that where God leads, God provides. And then watch Paul again, verse 35. And he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then we come to the conclusion, and this is his farewell speech and his love shown for the body of Jesus Christ. And when he had said these things, notice his humility. He knelt down and prayed with all of the people, all of the elders. He prayed with them. A man of God always is sensitive first to others than himself. Always.
Paul's example shows us that true spiritual leaders are humble, self-sacrificing, and focused on furthering God's kingdom. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ries. If you'd like to hear today's message, we'll be glad to send you a complete copy for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and mention today's title, False Teachers in the Church. Now, as you consider the need to guard against self-glorifying church leaders, we'd like to equip you with Raul's six-message series titled False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. It's available on CD and USB, with each lesson unearthing the agendas of those who use cover of spirituality to further their personal agendas rather than championing the cause of Christ. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order a six-part study titled False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. We'll send you the CD set for $21 or the flash drive for just $10. The number again is 800-634-9165. Or if you'd like, you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Your partnership in this ministry is crucial as we share the good news of God's Word, and every gift you give is tax deductible. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue with our focus on exposing deceptive church leaders. We'll learn how to resist their influence as we observe the fruit of their lives and recognize the true state of their hearts. Here's Rawl with a closing comment.
And then verse 37, and then the reaction of the people, and they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and they kissed him. Look at the love they had for each other. Now, you know why they did this? Because they knew they would never see Paul again until they got to heaven. Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him all the way to the ship. What a beautiful, beautiful chapter.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.